Good morning. How are you all today? Joyful? Hopeful? I brought two gifts to give, and I have two questions to ask. The first one would be, Jonah is not here, but he would have answered, what is the title of the sermon from the last week? Come on, I saw so many people noting it down. I'm going to take it for myself. Last week, Transfiguration. That's for Steve, please. And more important question, there was a big reveal that was done in the last week by Jesus Christ. What is that big reveal he did last week? Transfiguration. Yes, that was first question's answer. What did he reveal the last week to a closed group of three of his disciples on the mountain? His glory, getting close. Yes, and by Transfiguration, what he says that he is. He is the God. He is the King. This goes to Katrina.
Katrina.
Though he revealed that secret last week, he ordered them not to tell anyone. Why? Because it is not the time. It is not the day. Or it is not the season. Well, in Matthew chapter 21, while Jesus rode into the city on a donkey, it is the time and it is the season. He declares himself the same King, the God himself, Messiah, to the public. I say the season is right is because it is the season of? It is the season of? Passover. If you go 1400 years back from the day Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem, we see these Israelites who are under the stronghold of Egypt and Pharaoh. Now, after the long cry, God himself decided that he would free Israelites from Egypt. So God came himself onto the earth, walking through the Egypt to free the Israelites from Egypt and Pharaoh. And he chose a mark, which is the blood of lamb, to identify who are on his side and who are not on his side. The plan was simple. All the Israelites were to choose a lamb, which is male, which does not have any defect, sacrifice it, take the blood, put it on the doorpost, and anyone who stays behind the blood of lamb will be saved on that day. Now, that is the season Jesus Christ chose to declare that he is the King, the God who came onto this earth to save, not to just bring salvation for Israelites from Egypt, but to bring salvation to the humanity from the slavery of sin, using the mark of the blood of the lamb. Now, I also said that this is the right day. Now, if you're a Jew, and if you are performing the Passover, celebrating the Passover, then on the month of Nisan, on the 10th day of that month, you're supposed to go and choose a lamb, which will be sacrificed in the coming days on the day of Passover celebration. Now, the day Jesus is entering Jerusalem is the day of selecting the lamb. He's not just entering the Jerusalem, he's entering into the temple, in fact, as if he is available for anyone who wants to choose him. If you're more interested in the research, there is another prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, which says that from the day a decree was released to rebuild the Jerusalem to the day that anointed one will come into the temple or the Jerusalem, there are 62 sevens and seven sevens. In short, it is 63 weeks, or we should say 63 units, which comes to 483 days. Now, I haven't counted all those days myself, so don't question me, but I can point you to the sources of research where someone took time to count all those days to end up on the day that Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem to prove he is the anointed one, he is the Messiah, and he is the king who is going to come. All the ministry of 3.5 years of Jesus Christ is going to come to an end. We could call this week, which is the last week in his life on the earth to minister humanity, comes to an end, the beginning of the end. All the prophecies that were pointing towards Messiah will be fulfilled in this last week, quite a few of them, and three of them which we will discuss today. The emphasis today is not about the time or the season. If you want to know more about Passover, it will be the next week by Ross. But the emphasis today is to understand the nature of his kingship that he is declaring. In Luke chapter 19, the same story that was told by Luke, the triumphal entry of Christ, we see that Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem. Why did he weep? It's not just having a small tear, turning around and wiping. He wept loudly. He cried over Jerusalem. For what reason? The reason is told that they did not recognize his visitation when he came to Jerusalem. They did not understand the nature of the kingship he's declaring. The nature of this kingship, that he is coming on a donkey. Being a king, he chose a wrong animal, it seems, at first. But he chose a donkey to show that he is coming in peace. A king with no sword in his hands shows he is coming in peace. The kingship, which we also refer as the first coming of Christ, comes with peace, comes with forgiveness, comes with redemption and salvation attached. Anyone who would look unto him and swear their allegiance to this king will be accepted. The reason this particular kingship is important is because there is another kingship that is going to be declared as Jesus Christ enter the same Jerusalem onto the Mount Zion, not on a donkey, but on a white war horse. Not with an empty hands or open arms to accept anyone, but we see the sword and iron rod. It is not the disciples and the children who will be following him, calling Hosanna, Hosanna, but it is the army from the heavens. Now we are going to come across this kingship very shortly, very soon, but now Jesus Christ is still riding on the donkey. But now we are still in the time of forgiveness and the time of peace. Let me read this passage from Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16. And I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on the white horse. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fiery wrath of God the Almighty. And on him, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That day, you cannot face him to accept or switch the sides. And that is not the day of forgiveness, but that is the day of judgment. Now, this morning, dear brothers and sisters, the question comes to all of us, including me, to identify who is your king. We might have come into this sanctuary with a rebellious heart. When I say rebellious, I'm not saying we are against Christ, we are fighting against him, but if there is anyone else who is ruling your life as a king and not the King Christ, then that is the nature of rebellious. If we are ready to denounce our allegiance to these kings, it could be anything. Sometimes, let me talk about myself. It could be myself, I become king of my life because I become way too important in certain decisions. Sometimes money can take the dominance in our lives, sometimes physical pleasures, and sometimes power or a position. If we are ready to denounce our allegiance to these kings and swear our allegiance to God, Christ, and his kingship, this is the time he can forgive still. And this is the time he can allow us to be his loyal subject, as if we never rebelled. He not only forgives, but forgets the fact that we rebelled against him and considers as if we were loyal subjects from the beginning. Today, this morning, I would like to bring three ways Jesus Christ is declaring that he is king on that day in Matthew chapter 21 when he is entering the Jerusalem, especially into the temple. The declaration by riding on the donkey, the declaration by cleansing the temple, the declaration by healing the people. In all these three declarations, I will just repeat the declarations. The declaration by riding on the donkey, the declaration that he is king by cleansing the temple, the declaration that he is king by healing the people in the temple after riding and coming as a king. In all these three ways of declaring that he is king, there are two points we can observe. Point one, which is obvious, that he is the king. And point two, that he is not just king to a tribe. His kingship is not limited to a nation, but his kingship is to the ends of the world and to all the nations. These are the three declarations we'll be looking at this morning. First one, in verse 1 to 5, it says, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." Now, Jesus Christ is calling for a cab. You would be surprised that all his life he walked for his ministry. Let me tell you a conversation between a boy and his father. A boy came to his father asking him that, "Now I got the license, Dad, buy me a car." And the father gave a thought and said, "I have three conditions for you. You fulfill these three conditions, I'll buy you a car." "Well, condition one, you have grade C in the current term, go to grade A. If you can get grade A in the next term, then I would consider." "Condition two, you're not reading Bible, start reading Bible every day without missing a day." "Condition three, your hair is too long, cut it short." These are the three conditions her father gave. Now, after 8 weeks, this guy came back to the father and said, "Dad, see, this is grade A, condition fulfilled, excellent. Second condition, I am reading the Bible every day. In fact, I learned quite a few things through the Bible." "Excellent. Condition three, you still see the long hair there. and I'm not going to buy the car. Well, after reading the Bible, I came to know there are quite a few people with the long hair in there. Samson, probably Moses. In fact, Jesus, maybe you have seen Jesus' pictures. Long hair. You want me to follow Jesus or you want me to cut my hair? Now, Father said, you're very clever. You follow Jesus. You don't have to cut your hair. Well, but I'm not buying your car. Why? If you're following Jesus, you should have observed he always walked. The point is, Jesus never seemed to use any transportation in his ministry. But now we see he's asking for a donkey, not because he's tired, his legs are paining, but Matthew wants us to carefully wait and think about this as an intentional, because he's fulfilling a prophecy that is in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of donkey. Jesus Christ is acting on this prophecy to say, I am the king. How many of you know the verse John 3:16? I know you all know that. The question is, why only John 3:16, not John 3:14 or 3:18 or 3:17? Why John 3:16? Because it is directly related to our salvation. It is a verse which says that I can have my eternal life. It says a small story in which I have to submit and look unto the Christ and I'll be saved. Because it is related to our salvation, we remember that as a promise. Similarly, Jews and Israelites have certain messianic prophecies that they remember because it is related to their Messiah who is going to save them, bring them salvation. And Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 is one of those prophecies even child would remember. And Jesus Christ is acting and fulfilling that particular promise to clearly indicate he is the king. But there's a problem there. It says it is daughter of Zion, daughter or the daughter of Jerusalem. Does that mean Jesus Christ is the king only to Jerusalem? If you go back and see a bit more, the Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, the next verse it says, I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. And the bow of war will be cut, and he will speak peace to the nations. And his dominion, that is his kingdom, will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ is demonstrating that he is not only the king, but his kingdom extends to all the nations, to the ends of the world. That is the declaration by riding on the donkey. The next one is declaration by cleansing the temple. We see in verse 12 and 13. Jesus Christ entered the temple and drove all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of money changers and seats of those who were selling the doves. Sorry, they were small, so I was pausing in the middle. Anyone who reads Matthew chapter 21 from verse 12, 13, 14 and come to a conclusion that Jesus Christ have anger issues or short temper, then their conclusion is done in haste. Now we are talking of the same Jesus Christ who was stood there, spat upon him, beaten, mocked, stripped naked, put onto the cross, but he did not get anger. He is the same Christ who was beaten, one less 40 lashes on his body, but he did not get anger. We are looking at Jesus Christ getting anger. There's no cover-up there. He did get anger, but he got anger because the glory of his Father's house is being ruined. It is for his Father's house. It is for his Father's kingdom. It is for his glory of his Father's name he seemed to get angry. Now, I don't mind going a little bit sidetrack here, but there is a lesson for us who wants to be the people of God. The first lesson, obviously, is to have Christ as our King in our lives. And there's a second lesson here. While I'm meditating these things and then try to remember how many instances I seem to get angry, none of those seem to be for the reason of the Christ or for the reason of the kingdom of God or for the reason of the glory of God. Most of them are for keeping up my name, my respect, and making sure I am not put down. But as a people of God, like Christ, it would be humble to suffer for God, but to be zeal, have the zeal when it comes to his kingdom, when it comes to his word. So, coming back to the declaration of king, how is Jesus declaring that he is a king by toppling the tables and driving out the sellers and buyers? He also refers in verse 13, Jesus Christ, that he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer." This is coming from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. But Isaiah 56 has 12 verses. And all those 12 verses are referring to the kingdom of God, the coming kingdom of God, and how and what will be included into that coming kingdom of God. To get the context, let's read verse 6, 7, and also 8. "Also the foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord, even these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. For my house will be called the house of prayer for all the people." The Lord who gathered the dispersed of Israelite declares, "Yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered." Jesus Christ is referring to this prophecy of coming kingdom to say he is the king. And this prophecy refers to the kingdom where others will be included, where foreigners will be included into his kingdom. So Jesus Christ is declaring his kingship by referring to this prophecy. On a side note, we see Jesus Christ seem to stand for the non-Jews, the worship place. See, the business is happening inside the temple. But the temple itself is very small. But the temple courts are very big. The temple courts are designated for the non-Jews or the Gentiles to worship. But that worship place is used for business. Jesus Christ is standing there, cleansing the temple to re-establish that worship place for those non-Gentiles, non-Jews or the Gentiles to come into the temple. We also see that this house is house of prayer. Prayer is the connection between humanity and God. Prayer is the relationship and fellowship between the man and God. Now, it seems like this house of prayer turned out to be the house of robbers in this case, which means the connection is gone. Again, we see at a spiritual level, Jesus Christ is come to reestablish the connection between the man and God. The next declaration we are looking at is declaration by healing. Verse 14, And the blind and the lame came to him into the temple, in the temple, and he healed them. You might ask, Jesus Christ healed so many blind people in his ministry, and there were so many lame that were lifted up. How is it in any way declaring that he is the king? Now, before we go on to that, let's see Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 and 5. This is when John the Baptist, who was in the prison, sends out his disciples to Jesus Christ to clarify if he is the one they are waiting for, if he is the Messiah they are waiting for. So the disciples ask Jesus Christ, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? In other words, are you the coming king of Israel? Is kind of a question. So go and report. Jesus Christ is replying to the disciples of John, saying, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receives sight and the lame walk. In a way, he's saying, I am the one. You don't have to wait for someone else. You can see the miracles of blind, able to see, the lame are able to walk. We also can come and see this Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4 and 5. Again, this is about the coming kingdom. When the king comes, then it is explained this way, take courage, for fear not. The recompense of God will come. God will come and compensate what you have lost. But he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the lame will leap like a deer. Now Jesus Christ, who did all those miracles before, said, don't disclose this to anyone. But now he's doing it in the temple, in the season of Passover, when the population of Jerusalem would be blown up to 6 times of normal population. Jesus Christ has decided to declare that he is the king, he is the Messiah, and opened his arms to anyone who would swear their allegiance to his kingship. Jesus Christ, who wept on that day for Jerusalem, as they did not recognize the nature of his kingship, he is same today. And he has the same burden for you and for me. If we miss this kingship of Christ, who is still available, open his arms, then there will be consequences. We sang that song, who is going to stop the Almighty God? Who can stand before him? Where will you go for refuge if God himself turns against you? But we have time now. You might ask me, when is the second coming? I do not know. It could be tomorrow or tonight. Behold, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ still on the donkey. We as disciples and children are, he is approachable to us. He is still forgiving, and he can forget the sins we have done. Open arms to receive anyone. We also sang the song, he is the Lamb of the God. But he will become the Lion of Judah in second coming. And then he is not approachable. He comes with a sword, and he comes with judgment. That is not the day we wanted to face Christ, but this is the day. I wanted to keep this slide here, so I want this to be imprinted in your heart that all our emphasis is about love and grace all the time. But remember, there's also consequences if you rebel against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There will be a day that every knee will bow and every mouth will confess. But today, If you do the same thing, you will be included. It would be too late on the day, the second coming. I would like to conclude these things today, and then we will worship God with a song. But I would encourage the online viewers also to prepare for a communion and do communion with the family. Spend time remembering Christ and his body and his blood. Now, as soon as we finish the song, we will come back for the communion.